Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Our topic for this portion is unclean spirits. Revelation 9, 1 through 12. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you would bless the ministry of your word to our hearts tonight. Strengthen us to walk in obedience to all that you have for us this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. As we began our study of the book of Revelation, you remember that we mentioned that the purpose of this book is that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the times and seasons, but it's the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. The revelation is given not for our curiosity, but given for our practical obedience. We also noted that divine truth is far beyond the powers of expression of human language. And so for this reason, God uses parables and allegories to help us to understand that which is He is seeking to communicate to us. And so that's why in the Gospels, for example, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed." The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven that is hid in bread. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant who is seeking to buy pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that is cast into the sea. You say, how can the kingdom of heaven be all those things? How can the kingdom of heaven be a mustard seed and a net and a merchant and a pearl and a treasure? You know, how can it be all that? Well, it's not really all of that. But the Lord Jesus here is seeking to teach us what it is like. And it takes all of these comparisons to be able to help us to grasp to some extent what the kingdom of heaven is like. Here in the book of Revelation, that very same word that the Lord Jesus uses when he says that the kingdom of heaven is like, that same word, homoios, is used in the book of Revelation 22 times. It's only used 25 times in the entire remainder of the New Testament. And so it's used almost as much in the book of Revelation as in the rest of the New Testament. Then a secondary word, the word as, hos, is used more in the book of Revelation than in any other book of the New Testament. And so we find here, for this reason, we can expect in the book of Revelation much teaching by way of allegory. The kingdom of heaven is like. And so we find here in the book of Revelation what these things are like that Christ is teaching us in this book. Now, a rule of interpretation of Scripture is that we interpret Scripture literally, unless there is good reason for interpreting it otherwise. And we saw in our study of chapter 1, we have the picture of the Lord Jesus here, and we read in chapter 1 and verse 16 that He had in His right hand 7 stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And we realize immediately that we are being taught something by allegory. We don't expect to see our Savior with a sword protruding from His mouth, but we are being taught a truth here. And so also, in the rest of Scripture, we need to be alert to that which is concrete and that which is representative of the truth, spiritual truth that God is seeking to teach us. Now, in our study of the last part of chapter 8, we saw the first 4 trumpets. And we stated that in the teaching there of that last part of chapter 8, that God was seeking to turn men away from a love toward the creation and a confidence in creation, and rather turn men's eyes and hearts toward the Creator. And God was doing this by destroying the beauty of the earth and seeking in this way to gain men's repentance. And as we read Revelation chapter 8 and the last part of the chapter, we see that there are trees there, and trees are trees, and grass is grass, and sea is sea, and sun is sun, and blood is blood. And as we try to understand all the multitude of fanciful interpretations given to that, we find that the interpretations are really endless. And so we accept them as trees, and we accept them as sun, just as we accept mustard seed as mustard seed. Nevertheless, that mustard seed teaches us something. And so also here in Revelation chapter 8, we find that these things are given to teach us something. And the principal and important instruction that God is teaching us, that He is going to use great and extreme measures to seek to pull men away from their confidence in the creature and in the creation and place their confidence on the Creator. Now, this is confirmed as we then come to chapter 9, and we find that we have here in chapter 9 the 5th trumpet sounds. And as this 5th trumpet sounds, we read that this bottomless pit is opened, and out come smoke, and from this smoke come locusts. And as we study this chapter, we find that these locusts represent very definitely God's pouring out upon this earth of a host of unclean spirits. Just as the Lord Jesus said, the interpretation of one parable that He gave to His disciples served as a means by which they could then look at all of the other parables and interpret them properly. So also here we have the 5th trumpet. Very clearly gives us the method of interpretation that we must have for all of the other trumpets. And so we find here an outpouring of unclean spirits upon the earth. And we want to notice 3 things about these unclean spirits. First of all, we notice the source of these unclean spirits. In verses 1 to 3, we find, first of all, that as the 5th angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Now, those who were in our Sunday school class this past spring and studied the Greek verb and the usage of that verb, as they would check this out, would find that this verb here is not in the present tense. It's not a star that was falling. It was not something that fell as the fifth angel sounded. But rather, the word fall here is in the perfect tense. In other words, it's something that happened as a completed act in past time. And so we could more appropriately translate this, I saw a star having fallen. This star did not fall at this moment. This star had fallen before. It was already on the earth. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So here we have a star that had already fallen from heaven. And to that star that had fallen from heaven to the earth was given the key of the bottomless pit, or literally the pit of the abyss. Now, this star that had fallen did not have the key of the pit of the abyss, but he was given that key. It was provided for him. And he willingly used it to open up that locked area. He willingly opened it. And we read in Luke chapter 8 and verses 30 and 31. The Lord Jesus there is dealing with the man that was demon-possessed. Said, what is thy name? He said, Legion, because many demons were entered into him. And they besought him that he wouldn't not command them to go out into the deep. And the word deep there is the word abyss. They pleaded not to go out into the abyss. And so here we find in the book of Revelation that that abyss is opened. And from that pit comes forth these demons who have been locked in that abyss. And so these evil spirits then come out as they with the smoke and then the locusts, and these locusts then represent the demons that come from this abyss. And notice that they have the power of scorpions. Now, the scorpion is an enemy of man, just as the snake. And we find that these locusts then are enemies of men, and they have power to hurt men. And so we find, first of all, the source. They come out from the pit of the abyss. Secondly, we find the target of these unclean spirits. And the target of these spirits is not vegetation. They are told that they are not to touch the countryside. They are not to eat the grass or the vegetation. But rather, they are to attack men. And so we see that these are not to fulfill the natural inclination of the locust, but rather they are to attack men. And so this is a deceitful being that looks like a locust. And you remember the locusts are edible. John the Baptist fed on locusts and wild honey. And so as a man would see a locust, he would think, this is something that is good for me. This is something that will be of benefit to me. But we are told that these were to hurt men. They were to have the sting of the scorpion. And the sting of the scorpion, we are told, is an excruciatingly painful sting. It does not kill. Very seldom does a man die from the sting of the scorpion. But it is excruciatingly painful. And they were to attack men then. And very specifically, they are to attack those who are not sealed with the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, those sealed with the seal of God in their foreheads are God's people. They are not to attack God's people, but rather they are to attack those who are not God's people. And so those who would interpret this chapter as being that here we have a flood of false cults coming out upon the earth, this cannot be, because false cults attack God's people, whereas these were not to attack God's people, but rather to attack the unbelievers. They are to harm the unbelievers. And to the extent where men shall seek death, so great is the pain that they will experience. They are to attack men for 5 months. Now, we're told that the locusts are born in the spring and they die in the fall. They live about 5 months. But the locusts only attack for a short time. They will attack a certain area and clean it of its vegetation and then move on. But these locusts, with the sting of the scorpion, will attack a full 5 months, and men will be stung by these scorpions then for the full course of their lives. And so men will writhe in pain, and they will seek death, but not be able to find it. The thickness of the plague of these locusts with the sting of the scorpion to attack men, and representing then God allowing the sending forth of these unclean spirits to attack men. Now, thirdly, we want to notice the power of these unclean spirits. As I looked at this portion of Scripture and read beginning in verse 7, the shapes of the locusts, I said, Lord, why this detailed description of these locusts? The shapes of the locusts, first of all, they were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Now, the horse is a symbol of strength, and men gloried in the strength of the horse. You remember that Israel was commanded not to have horses, and Solomon, however, disobeyed that. The heathen had horses, and that was the strength of battle for them. We read that they were to have on their heads, as it were, crowns of gold. Now notice it doesn't say crowns of gold, but as it were, crowns of gold. Speaking then of kingly authority. You remember in our previous study that the 24 elders had crowns. So we have here the symbol of kingly authority and also symbol of apparent religion. We see that they had faces as of men. In other words, these are apparently intelligent beings. Secondly, we see that they, fourthly, they have hair as of women. We read that the beauty of a woman is her hair. And so we see here an attractiveness. As I read this description, I thought, if I ever ran across an animal like this, I wouldn't consider him attractive. But we have to face the fact here that God is not giving us a description of an actual animal, but He is describing to us allegorically what these demons look like. You say, if I ever faced a demon, I'd be scared stiff. Not necessarily. Here you have the fact that the power of these unclean spirits is, first of all, a deceitful power. They have teeth as of lions. Lions have great power for personal advantage. Breastplates as of iron, personal protection. Wings, the sound of great power, of prestige. And so you'll note that from the front, these creatures look very attractive. It all looks very great. Now, men welcome that which appears to give them strength, authority, intelligence, beauty, power, protection, and prestige. That's what these things appear like from the front. And men look at that and they say, that is tremendous. That is so desirable. Men desire strength, authority, intelligence, beauty, power, protection, prestige. But notice at the tail. At the tail, they have the sting of the scorpion, perhaps the most painful sting that can be inflicted upon a man. And this is how unclean spirits operate. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 31 and 32, we read, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And so we find that these unclean spirits are very attractive from the front. But the last end of the matter is the sting. We read that unclean spirits then have this power of deceit, and even Satan himself appears as an angel of light. And we see this in our society today. You'll see a huge full-color advertisement, and it will say, for example, here you have a man who, a strong, healthy, vibrant-looking personality, and perhaps standing alongside a horse or riding on a horse, and the motto alongside will be, this is cigarette country. It looks so attractive. They never show the man lying in bed alongside a tank of oxygen with tubes going into his nose and saying, this is cigarette country. You also see a huge full-color advertisement And it says, alongside a beautiful young lady, soft and smooth like velvet. They don't show that man, not only if it were himself crushed in his own automobile, that's usually not the way it happens. Why don't they show this man standing, weeping, alongside a crushed automobile in which there is a father and a mother and three children that have been crushed because he was handling the soft and smooth velvet? They don't show that. You see, the latter end is where the sting is. In our society today, we have an unleashing of unclean spirits by means of television and all other forms of media. Uncleanness in which the propaganda is that free love is all fun and no cost. You know, free love is the most expensive product that you can buy. And they don't show you how that promiscuity will bring to you horrible diseases for which they now say we have no cure. We have some alleviation. We have no cure. And so we find that God says that these unclean spirits from the front look so great, but the latter sting is where the pain is. And men come to the place where they would just as soon die rather than face the consequences of the sin to which they've fallen. And so, just as you would flee from a scorpion, so also God says here, beware of deceitful spirits. And this locust that looks like it would benefit men and looks so attractive from so many aspects has the sting of the scorpion. And so it is a deceitful power. And then secondly, it is a destructive power. These unclean spirits then seek to torment men. And they torment men for the full length of time that God is going to allow this. The reason for this, as we saw the first four trumpets, God destroying a third of all the good of the earth, men did not repent. And since there was no repentance, God then brought a worse thing upon them. He brought these deceitful spirits. These have no king, we read. These have a king, rather. The locusts do not have a king. But this is an organized attack to bring men to destruction. The name of the king here is Destroyer. He is a destroyer. And so the pleasures of sin are for a season. They are inviting, but they are calamitous in the final end. And so God here gives the key to the destroyer to bring out this rash of uncleanness to cause men to see the terrible wickedness of their own hearts and to bring them to repentance. Now, the first four trumpets brought no repentance. God only destroyed the good of the earth. You remember what Satan said to God after God gave Satan the privilege of taking away everything that Job had and Job was still faithful? Satan went back before God and said, well, the problem is, God, is that all you've done is you've just touched his belongings. You haven't really touched him. And he says in Job chapter 2 and verses 3 to 6, or verses 4 to 6, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And God gave him permission. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. You can't have his life, but you can touch his body. And this is the same thing that God is doing here. To men who refused to repent, when God touched everything they had, took away a third of all the good of his creation, God said, all right, then Satan has the next stage. You can touch their bodies and cause them to suffer pain, that they might recognize their need and that they might repent. And so God then allows their very flesh to be touched, until the point where they cry out, even seeking death, but not able to find it. In all of this, the saints are exempt. The saints are exempt from these unclean spirits because the Word of God and the Spirit of God warns us of the deceitfulness of sin. Now, as long as the saints are under the protection of divinely ordained authority, they will not be touched by this. But any who get out from under authority will be subject to the deceit of these unclean spirits. And so that's why it is so important for us as Christians to be under authority. Under authority of our parents, under authority of our church, under authority of our government. It's so important to be under authority, because if we are rebellious and out from under authority, we will be deceived by these unclean spirits, the deceitfulness of these seducing spirits, and suffer then the terrible sting of these enemies of man. One woe is past, but who has woe like one who has been deceived and bitten by this scorpion of sin? And so we need to be under protection, and this woe then will not harm us. And so this evening we'd like to ask you, are you saved? Do you have the seal of God upon you? Have you been sealed by the Spirit of God as He has come to dwell in your hearts? Are you a genuine Christian? And then secondly, we want to ask you, are you under authority? Because if you are not under authority, then you will be open to these temptations of these who would deceive mankind. The seal of protection of those who are in obedience to God-ordained authority. Father, we thank You this evening that although there are grievous things that have come upon our earth and are now, and perhaps even more so will come, as You allow men to be tested that they might repent of their sins and come to the Savior, we thank You that You warn us in Scripture, and that as Christians we are told ahead of time the ways in which You work, the ways in which You allow Satan to work. And we are warned that just as in the situation with Job, that Satan desired to go beyond taking his goods and to go to also touching his body, because that's where the real issues are. So also, Father, in the testing of men who refuse to repent, You go beyond touching their pocketbooks and their earthly good. You go also to the extent of touching their physical bodies and allowing terrible pain to come as a result of the consequences of the sin that has deceived them. And so we praise You, Father, for Your protection. We praise You for the ways in which You work. And we praise You that we are aware of these ways because of the teachings of Scripture. Grant, we pray, in our day when we see such a deluge of outpouring of wicked spirits, that we might be very careful to be under the protection of divinely ordained authority, that we might not be swept away by this flood of ungodliness and suffer the terrible sting of sin as described to us in this portion of Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.